the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right, we're back again. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. You're tuned in to yet another hour of the program. We thank you for joining us, BizTV, WealthEd.com, and all the radio and TV folks listening and watching across the country. We're getting ready for another hour of what I can tell you is going to be top-notch money strategies and advice. My opinion, but I think I'm right. Standing by here to deliver to you the best in money information, I'm Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, here with me, as always, from Lucia Capital Group. Once again, a whole bunch of stuff to go over this hour. I've got some things on tax brackets. This was brought up by Martin, one of our calls last hour, explaining how these tax brackets work, marginal versus average brackets. It's important to know that because tax planning and tax strategy is something that should be incorporated into your retirement plan. So we'll talk about that if we have time. There's a couple of things that we didn't get to yesterday, including sort of bookending these lifetime income products inside of a bucket strategy. How does that help you out? How can you do it? So there's some strategizing with that. And anything else that's on your mind, your chance to call in right now. We've got every line open right now. If you have a money or strategy question, you want to discuss your retirement options, this is what we're here to do. We're here to help you out with your money strategies. 877-PLANNER is our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Grab your phone, give us a call at that number, 877-752-6637. Send us your email questions, comments. Go to wealthed.com, click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page, type your question, send it to us, and we'll answer it. That's what we do on the show every single day. Professor Rick Plum here with me today. Wealth education, that's what we try to provide to you. You should head over to wealthed.com to get all of our resources. And there's another way you can get in touch with us. You can contact the Brain Trust off the air right there. With WealthEd, you got the opportunity to meet with a Brain Trust advisor, go over your individual situation, and know what your options are. You should trust the Brain Trust network of advisors available to you through just a single point of contact. The off-air number, talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group who bring us this hour of the program, 800-644-1150. Write it down, 800-644-1150. You hear something on the show you're not sure about and you don't really want to call on the program, I don't know why, we're nice people, but you don't have to. Talk off the air, 800-644-1150. Our number on the air, 877-PLANNER, you know that by now. Give us a call. We have all the lines open, ready to talk to you about whatever money issues are on your mind. So I brought this up. Martin in Las Vegas had mentioned tax brackets. Now, his question, if you missed it last hour, it was a little while ago, he was asking about, because we'd had a discussion at least a week or two ago on this very topic that has to do with tax brackets and understanding where you are. There are people who believe that if they're in the 25% tax bracket, say Professor Plum, that 25 cents out of every dollar is always that they make is taxed and is gone. That's simply not the case.
No, we have a progressive tax structure, and so we have a different tax on different parts of your income stream, different amounts of income. And so it's probably one of the harder things to try to describe is how taxes work. One of the harder things is just describing what is actually what they consider to be gross income. Gross income is after the deduction for your 401k, after the money comes out of your paycheck for your health insurance and things like that. That's even though you make $100,000 maybe, but you put $10,000 into your 401k and it cost you $400 a month in health insurance premiums that came out pre-tax, your gross income shows about $85,000, not $100,000, because a bunch of money came off the top.
Yeah, take that example. Let's take an example. Somebody who's single. Let's say a single individual who makes $100,000 a year. What tax bracket are they in at that point?
Well, we'd have to go through all the different deductions. Let's say that they do put $10,000 into a 401k, 10% of their money. They put another $400 and change into medical insurance premiums, and it comes out of their paycheck. And so that's $5,000 off the top that they're not taxed on. So their wages are $100,000 a year. $10,000 is tax deductible, goes into the 401k. $5,000 is tax deductible because it came out of their check to pay for their pre-tax health insurance premiums. So their W-2, that tax form you get about now, says that their gross income, their gross taxable wages were $85,000. 100 minus 10 minus 5, 85,000. But that's not necessarily what your taxable income is, because what we do is we look at all the different portions of your income. That $85,000 goes on a line that says this is your wages, your taxable wages. Then you look, do you have any interest, dividends, capital gains, passive income, all these other types of income, and you add all those up to come up with your true, what they call, gross income. Obviously, it's not your real gross income because you've already taken some stuff off the top, but it's what they call your gross income. Now they start making subtractions. These are called below-the-line deductions, as John mentioned at the beginning of the show last hour. Your itemized deductions, your interest deduction, your property taxes, your state income tax if you live in a state there, your sales tax if your state doesn't have an income tax, your charitable contributions. These are all combined as an itemized deduction. You compare that with a standard flat dollar amount that everybody gets. For a single person, you get to reduce your gross income by at least $6,300 or your itemized deductions if they're higher. So we take the $6,300 off the top. That takes us down to below $80,000, and we get a personal exemption. Everybody out there who is not being claimed by somebody else gets to take another, call it $4,000 off the top. And now we come up with what's known as your taxable income. So we went from $100,000.
Those were our wages.
Took off 15 for pre-tax deductions. Took off another, call it 10. So now we're down to about $75,000 of taxable income. We have $100,000 of wages, but we're only going to be taxed on $75,000 because of these other deductions and exemptions. So now we've got $75,000. Well, if we just look at the tax brackets, $75,000 says that we're in the 25% income tax bracket. But do you owe 25% of $75,000? No. You owe a different amount on the first, call it $10,000. You owe 10% of the first $10,000. You owe 15% of the next $25,000 of my taxable income. And then I owe 25% on the amount over the combination of those first two. So it's all, you know, broken down into categories. Part of it's at 10, part of it's at 15, part of it's at 25. So I calculate the amount at 10, calculate the tax on the amount at 15, calculate the amount at 25, add them up. That's what I pay. Now, if I added it up and I looked at that number compared to the $100,000 of my gross wages, I'm probably paying 8 or 9% on average. But if I got a bonus for $1,000, I'm not going to pay 8 or 9%. I'm in the 25% bracket on all new money, at least for a little while. Mm-hmm. If my bonus is very, very large, I may use up the rest of the 25% and go into the 28% bracket. And if it's really large, I could go up even higher than that. I can go all the way to 39.6 if I could get my wages over, you know, my total income over $450,000.
All right, but let's say there is no bonus in this situation. You were just at $100,000. Your total tax bill when you pay, you know, 10% for the on the first 10,
call it, it's like 9,000
right,
and change. Call
first it 10,000 and you pay 15% on the next
$25,000
and then you pay 25% on whatever is left.
Right, on the next 40.
Right, on the next 40. Okay. So at that point, your total actual dollar amount going out of taxes could be what? $8,000-$9,000?
That's probably around $14,000.
Okay, $14,000 for that. That's on $100,000 of wages.
Good.
Well, this means somebody said, well, wait a minute. I thought I was in the 25. That's only 14% of my income is being taxed.
Right, because of the, you don't go backwards necessarily. I don't go,
right.
Once I hit the 25, I don't go retro and have to pay 25% on that first $10,000. I don't have to pay 25% on that middle portion that was taxed at 15%. I only pay 25% on the new money over the certain threshold of taxable
yes.
income.
And I've heard of people who have said, I'm right at the end, right at the edge of the 15% tax bracket. If I make $1,000 more this year, it's going to put me into the 25%. So I do not want to, I don't pay me any more money because I'm going to go up into the next tax bracket, which means all of my income is now going to be subject to the new tax bracket. And that's just foolish because that's not true.
Another common one I hear is that $5,000 bonus is going to put me up into a higher bracket and the taxes will be more than the $5,000 and I'm going to actually lose money by getting this bonus. That can't happen. Withholding is an issue, but you can't get a bonus that takes away all the bonus in taxes. It doesn't work that way. I may lose 25% of it or more, but I will never lose all of it.
No, you won't. And it's unfortunate, which is why, Professor Plum, it's important that you understand how tax brackets work, or at least it's important that you have an advisor and a tax person who understands how tax brackets work. If you don't understand, then you should listen to your tax advisor, who would probably tell you, look, take the bonus. You're not going to be losing it all because it's going to jump you up into the next tax bracket.
There is no point where it's 100% tax. There's no point where it's a 50% tax, unless you live in California. Then it could be there.
Well, all right, but that's you. Okay.
Not me.
Well, I understand.
That's the Kardashians.
Okay, fine. But you know what? I'd still take the money.
Yeah,
I'd
still
take it. If you want to tax it at 50%, whatever. If I'm going to make enough where I can have a total tax between federal and state at half, that's fine with me. All right, now, JW, hang on. You have a question? We're going to get to it. In fact, it goes to a couple of emails that we were also going to ask. So I'll let you ask your question about Social Security when we come back. Don't go away. Hey, we still have three lines open, so grab them while you can. Take advantage of the Brain Trust. Professor Plum is here answering your questions. 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Here we go, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We got some folks on hold. We're going to take your calls right away, right now, 877-752-6637. Oh, okay, all right. We had some folks on hold. Did they all go away? Oh, man, we had some great questions. All right, well, call us back if you can. I know we had a couple of Social Security questions on the line, so if you want to give us a call back, if you couldn't wait during the break, which I understand some people can't, give us a call back. But now we got the lines open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We do have emails. This is a good opportunity for me to at least get to some of these things, and we will talk about more about the bucket strategy and those lifetime income products coming up next segment if we have time. John in Richmond, Michigan. My Florida townhouse is worth around $190,000. It is paid off. It is now my primary residence. What is your opinion of my gifting the home and in return receiving a lifetime annuity? Now he's got some...
Who are you gifting it to?
Well, all right, let me give you a few more things here. I'm currently retired but looking for work. My pension is $1,400 a month. I'm attempting to wait until age 70 to take Social Security. That'll be $3,000 a month. My wife is 17 years younger than I am. She's 46, I'm 63. She is working, making $20,000 a year, but talking about quitting. Our home in Michigan is valued at $75,000 and is generating rental income of $1,700 a month. The mortgage and insurance, $654 a month. So he wants to gift it, and that's all I've got.
Well, again, who are you going to gift it to? If you're going to gift it to a charity in return for a gift annuity, they're going to want you to move out. Where are you going to live? I don't know of any place that you can transfer it to today and get an income stream from it for the rest of your life without moving out of it. So are you going to move to the rental house? Because that's $1,000 a month net that you're getting. So I don't have a problem with gift annuities. I don't have a problem with using real estate for that issue. But it's one of those things. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish here. Where are you going to live?
Well, it sounds like he wants to gift it to somebody, but then stay in the home.
Who's going to give them a lifetime income for an asset that I can't? So basically, it sounds like almost a reverse mortgage.
Yeah.
It's not a gift. It's a reverse mortgage. I take out a reverse mortgage where some company is going to pay me money while I'm living in the house, and I'm going to accrue debt secured by the house. And when I die, I'm going to then... the house has to either be sold or the company takes it over and sells it to be repaid back. It doesn't work real well with a 46-year-old spouse. Now, I think the new laws have passed that they can't kick her out of it, but they'll stop paying income. And they will also reduce the amount of income with a younger spouse because they know that it's going to be a lot longer before they get their money if they even do it. So you can't do a reverse mortgage. Where are you going to live? Now, whether or not it makes sense, it depends on how much they're going to give you right per month versus today's value.
Now, he seems to be talking about the first thing that you mentioned was some type of gift annuity.
Well, he's talking about gifting the home and receiving a lifetime annuity.
Right. So how do those normally work?
Well, a gift annuity is you go to a larger charity. Typically, they have to be a little bit larger. They have to have some wherewithal. And you donate an asset or you donate cash. And they are basically the insurance company. They promise to pay you for the rest of time. And for the most part, they pay a fairly reasonable interest rate compared to what you can get on the outside market with insurance companies. So you're doing a couple of things. You're potentially helping the charity in the ultimate long, you know, in the you're making a gift, mm-hmm. and you're getting an income stream. But generally, the asset is being sold to help the charity pay you out the income. Most charities don't have enough capital just to start paying out income, holding on to an asset for another 15, 20, 30 years. And if we're dealing with a joint life annuity between you and your spouse, she's 46. That could be 40 plus years before the charity gets the actual use of the money.
And they take that into account.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Yeah.
So it's either a single life on him only, which means his spouse gets no benefit from the money going forward after he passes away, or it's joint life, which means they're going to base it on her life expectancy, which is a long time, which means it's going to be a lot lower payment. But in many cases, as long as you trust the charity, you know, if it's a big charity and it's been around, it's going to be around, they're fine. Just look at the numbers. Look what you're putting in. Look what you're getting out. And if that's acceptable, then it makes sense.
Okay.
But I've never seen one that lets you live in the house.
No, the whole point is to...
That would be called a life estate, but it doesn't include
the
annual payment.
Yeah, okay. Well, John, if you have some more information or if you have, let us know who you were planning on gifting it to and where you were thinking of living. Let us know. Maybe we can give you a little bit more exact answer than that. Okay, this would be Valerie up next in Vancouver, Washington. By the way, phone lines are open, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Valerie says, I'm 66. My husband is 56. Neither of us plans to file for Social Security until we turn age 70. Can I file and suspend? Would that affect Social Security payouts in any way when we turn 70? And would you recommend I do this as a friend has suggested to me to do? Thank you.
Okay, Valerie, you are 66. Can you file and suspend? Yes, you can file today and suspend today. And you can do this up until April 29th. I think that's the last day that you can do the voluntary suspension and then have any benefit for doing so. Should you do it? Or the next question was, would this affect any Social Security payouts at age 70? No. If you suspend it today and then wait until 70 to restart it and then kick it back into place at 70, the age 70 benefits the age 70 benefit. If you haven't received any benefits prior to that, it's going to be the same number either way. Whether you filed and suspended or didn't file until 70, it's the same number. Now, you can always start it earlier if you want to. Should you do this? There's not much of an advantage. I mean, I don't know any downside to doing it. You can't get hurt by doing it, but you could potentially, you know, have an undo, let's say. And the only thing that could be a marginal advantage for doing this is you file and suspend today. At some time between now and 70, you decide that waiting until 70 is not in your best interest, and you want to undo it, and you want to go back to today's benefit. Start today's benefit and get a check for each of the months that you missed. So let's say today's benefit is $2,500 a month, and you wait 3 years to be able to, and then you change your mind. You haven't turned 70 yet. They haven't restarted your benefit at age 70 yet. You can say, you know what? I changed my mind. Start the $2,500 a month that I filed for originally, and I suspended it 3 years ago. And oh, by the way, send me a check for that $90,000 that you haven't sent me over the last 3 years. Continue paying me the $2,500, not the $3,000 plus that I get at 70, but give me a lump sum check for them in the interim. You can still do that. Now, most people don't usually take advantage of that, but it is an option that you can preserve for yourself because you can file and suspend voluntarily before the end of April of this year. Does it give you a huge advantage? No. Does it hurt you in any way? I cannot think of a way that it can hurt you. It doesn't benefit your spouse at all.
Now, Valerie can do this, you said, because she's already 66.
Correct.
And she will be 66, obviously, you know.
She's already turned 66.
At least 66, yes, before the end of April of this year. After that, the benefits of doing so really go away.
Well, after that, you can suspend it, but you can't undo it and get a check. Nobody can pull a benefit from you, although there's nobody in your household that can pull a benefit from you right now. So you have a marginal advantage, no downside. Whether it's enough to make you deal with Social Security right now, that's up to you.
Yeah, I guess the benefit if you do file and suspend is that your benefit will continue to grow since it's on suspension. But if you're going to do that, then there's no reason to file in the first place. You just let it grow without doing a file and suspend. Okay, we got more coming up. 877-PLANNER. Lines open now. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group talking to you about your money when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. We got some room on the phones right now if you want to get in touch with us. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Talking to you about your money, about your strategies. And by the way, speaking of strategies, it's almost the eve of the next workshop, 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshop, brought to you by Lucia Capital Group. The next one is coming up this Saturday, February 20th. You want to meet the Brain Trust, which of course includes Professor Rick Plum, Terry Keyes, and the gang. That'll be 9 o'clock in the morning at the Renaissance Hotel. If you're listening, watching in Las Vegas or anywhere near there, you need to stop on by, learn about retirement income strategies, and just as importantly, get your money questions answered. We had a couple of callers last hour. They were asking us, are you going to be talking about such and such at the workshop? Well, I'll tell you what. If you go to the workshops and you want to talk about it, they will. Just bring it up in part of the question and answer period. So February 20th, this Saturday, Las Vegas. Seattle, Washington is a week from Saturday. That's on the 27th of February. And then Phoenix, Arizona happens on March the 12th. Those are the three. And there will be more. As I've said, go to wealthed.com. They're all free. Sign up there. Find out where the Brain Trust is going to be. And come on by, say hi, and get some of the best money advice, in my opinion, that you're going to get anywhere. And get your money questions answered. WealthEd.com. Our number 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Before I get back to some of these emails, we had a question yesterday that we didn't get to. It had to do with this whole discussion of lifetime income. And it was kind of a lively discussion because lifetime income is important to people, not just because it gives you some kind of peace of mind, but I mean, who really wants to run out of income by the time they reach age 80 or 90?
Well, and lifetime income is really important to people who don't have a lot of it.
Well, sure, of course. If you don't have any lifetime income, it's probably a much better idea to at least look into it. Now, one question that came up that we didn't address, and I want to do it here very quickly, is has to do with alternative investments and where they might fit into this whole lifetime income strategy that we're talking about.
Well, alternative investments are used to diversify a portfolio from a volatility standpoint where they typically don't act and react in the same manner as a stock or a bond market investment. So the entire portfolio isn't going down all at once. But one of the characteristics of many of the alternatives are that they have a fairly high stable income. Now, I said stable, not guaranteed. And so incorporating those types of high stable incomes into an overall income strategy, you've got one side of the equation that is a guaranteed income, guaranteed by an insurance company. And you've got the other side of the spectrum that is stable, but the underlying asset is either illiquid, has some volatility to it or something. So it's on the risk scale, it's on the other side from the guarantee, but you can incorporate these two types of income into a portfolio. You can use this guaranteed income to give yourselves the baseline income you want. I was speaking with somebody earlier today. They want a very high baseline income for them and their wife so that they never have to think about the basic bills ever again. But then over and above that, they want some more income, but they can change it from time to time. So they want to cover part of their income need with the guarantees and the rest of the income need, or at least a good chunk of the income need, from these other alternative type sources that generally have a fairly high stable income. So you can, what we call, bookend the three main buckets. Bucket number one being spend down, bucket number two being replenish, bucket number three being the long-term growth, given the fact that you've got about a 10 to 15 year time horizon with one and two. But then outside of that, we think everybody should have those. But then outside of those three main ones, you can start adding the alternatives. Lifetime income is an alternative. It's an option. You don't have to have it. If you've already got a lot of pension and Social Security and other types of direct income, you don't necessarily need that. Alternatives on the other side, they're an option, that you don't have to have them. If you're not comfortable, if you don't understand them, and you don't need or want the income, you don't have to have those either.
What sort of alternatives are we talking about here?
Well, business development companies, certain master limited partnerships, we're talking about real estate trusts, mm-hmm. things that typically have a different wavelength when it comes to volatility, have a different time constraint as far as when it comes to liquidity. But typically, if you've got a large pool of loans, floating rate loans to mid-sized $300-$500 million companies, you know, you've got a fairly stable income right there. If you've got, you know, you've got a piece of $1 billion worth of real estate that's leased out, 90 to 92% leased out, you got a fairly stable income as long as you're not overly leveraged. So there's a lot of things you can do with creating the income. The question is, do you want it on a guaranteed chassis, or do you want it on something that doesn't have a guarantee? But anytime you take away that G word, you potentially have some volatility, but volatility works both ways, down and up. So you have some upside potential as well. We'll see. You
know? Yeah, yeah. It's just a way to, once again, sort of tweak the bucket strategy. I'll talk a little bit more about that with Terry Keyes. Will be here tomorrow, right, as you'll be heading to Las Vegas to get ready for the big workshop. And I will talk more about the bucket strategy with him.
And give a couple speeches, and my honorarium is necessary. Come on. No.
At least, you know.
At least dinner. No.
A couple of Jack Tacos. What more do you, what more are you
asking for?
That actually
sounds pretty good.
It actually does, and I haven't had those in years. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Again, some of these things are what they're going to be talking about at the workshops, so if you need to know, if you just got kind of a little preview of what they're going to be talking about this Saturday and some of the other workshops. Emails, you go to wealthed.com, wealthed.com. Let's get to Helen in Dade City, Florida. A local financial advisor says she can avoid paying tax on my IRA required minimum distribution. How could that be? She would not tell me. She wants me to transfer my IRA account to her company so that they can help me to avoid paying taxes on the required minimum distribution from the IRA. Can you tell me anything about that, Professor Plum?
I can tell you it's a hoax. The only way to avoid paying taxes on the required minimum distribution is to have no other income, to have such a low income from other sources that your required minimum distribution is covered by your standard deduction and your personal exemptions. If the only income you have, I'm a single individual, I have no income, and I have a $10,000 required minimum distribution. I take that $10,000 out, obviously I'm over 60 and 65, my standard deduction and my personal exemption wipe out the tax on that $10,000 distribution. But if I have a pension for $20,000 and I have Social Security for $30,000 and I have some interest, some dividends, or anything else, and this $10,000 of required minimum distribution is sitting on top of those other incomes, it's going to be taxable. There's no way around it. Now, I don't know what they're proposing, but the fact that they won't tell you until you transfer the money, yeah, it gives me a little bit of a start. I don't necessarily want to hear it. You know, I don't want to trust that. But what I have seen is that what some people will propose doing is taking your entire IRA and putting it into a life insurance policy, and either staging it in over the next 5, 6, 7 years, or I've even seen them do it in a lump sum, which is really dumb for this case. But now you don't have an IRA anymore. You already paid tax on everything, and you don't have any RMDs anymore.
That's one way to get rid of it.
I can avoid, if you're 68 years old, 69 years old, I can show you how you won't have to pay tax on an RMD. Because I'm going to make you pay tax on everything when it's not an RMD, and now you won't have an RMD. And so you don't pay any taxes on it.
If there is no RMD, because you have no IRA or no money in the IRA, then sure, you're going to avoid paying taxes on it.
I'm not saying that that's what they're proposing. I'm just saying I have seen that in the past. Now the only thing you have is this life insurance policy. And if, you know, you have a big life insurance policy that is not a modified endowment contract, then you can start withdrawing money from the life insurance cash value on a tax-free basis for a while, as long as you don't screw it up. But if you did a single premium life insurance policy with that money, now you can't get to the money tax-free. There's no required minimum distribution. You don't ever have to worry about taking money out of your IRA again because you don't have one, but you've already paid all the taxes on it. And I've got the money into a life insurance policy that'll allow me to have a tax-free distribution. No requirement to do so, but it cost me a ton of money in the initial transfer of the IRA to the life insurance policy because I had to pay taxes when it came out. But it wasn't my RMD that I paid taxes on.
Why do you suppose an advisor would not tell them how to do this and just transfer, trust me and transfer me your money?
Well, I mean, it is a control issue. I'm not going to, you know, some advisors won't give you the information until you've transferred the money, because then it's harder for you. If you don't like their advice, then you've got to go through the hassle of moving it back. Mm. Or it's harder for you to, at that point, say, you know what? My cousin Joe can do that for me too. You don't have anything special. So I'm going to let him or her be my advisor on this. I got the information for you. And yeah. Then you let somebody, a relative or somebody else, do it. And so I've given you away my advice for free. And okay. So they want to transfer it so that it's harder for you to not use them. Even if you don't like their recommendation.
To tell somebody, and I don't know if they use these exact words, that you don't have to pay taxes on your required minimum distribution is ridiculous. Because any time you take a required minimum distribution, there's no way that I know that the IRS, other than having, as you said,
no other income,
where it's your deductions take care of it, there's no other way to...
You can't wave a magic wand and say, poof, no taxes on this.
No, it's like saying you can make $150,000, you can be a millionaire and
never
not
pay taxes.
No, it doesn't work that way. So obviously something's at play right there. Okay, some trivia coming up. Hey, we got some room on the phone, so give us a call with your money questions. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group talking to you about strategy on Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here for you every day. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Take advantage of the brain trust. You ask us your questions on the phones. You ask us questions through email. Whichever works best for you, we're here to answer those questions for you. 877-PLANNER. Emails, you go to our website, Wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, WealthEd.com. And send it right there. Also workshops. And we've been talking bucket strategy. We've been talking retirement income strategies and challenges for a good part of the program today. And if you want to learn more about these things, we've got a bunch of workshops coming up. We still got some left. Done a few. We got a few more coming up. They're on Saturdays, and they're at different locations around the country. So if you want to find out where the Brain Trust is going to be next, or if they're going to be anywhere that you happen to be, you go to our website, WealthEd.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, WealthEd.com. You can sign up there, any number of them, whichever ones you want to sign up. And by the way, bring your money questions, because we do talk in these workshops about retirement income strategies. That's kind of the main focus. But afterwards, there's plenty of time, both during the program and after the program, to ask whatever questions that you have. Maybe you have questions that either aren't addressed or something that you need more information on. It's a great time to do that. Tax questions, savings questions, Social Security questions, retirement, annuities, insurance, whatever it is, they'll talk about it. You just got to go ask the questions. So once again, WealthEd.com. Check it out, WealthEd.com. Okay, so some trivia for you here. This is, boy, they send me very few things. Startup Genome Project. I don't know. They got my address somehow. But the trivia for today... actually makes it's interesting. 90% of startup businesses launched in the US of A fail primarily due to self-destruction and not due to competitive pressures. Now I wonder how they figured that out. I wonder where that, how you quantify something like that.
I want to know how many of those are restaurants.
Well, probably quite a few. But startup businesses, I mean, what, some, these are the kind of businesses that they that you have in your garage or something, and you decide to do it. Now, I would assume this includes businesses that last maybe a month or two and never go anywhere.
That's a startup. A lot of them are, you know, fail because they're undercapitalized, and the owner, you know, just has these dreams of being self-employed and believes that it's just going to happen, and all, everything's rosy until they find out it's maybe a little more difficult than they thought, and it's more costly than they thought, and they don't have the capital to make it work long enough to make it profitable. I mean, a lot of companies, I remember, you know, they get bigger only because they survive the first couple of years on something other than the profits of the business.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, does it take a whole ton of money to start up a
business? Depends on the business.
I mean, I've known people who have just sort of done things on a whim, and they word gets around, and there's very little cost to it, and then
depends
next thing
on
you know,
the business.
Yeah, they're selling some kind of a product.
Right, but when you've got a large capital outlay up front, like you know, redoing a restaurant, you know, bringing in you know, stoves and you know, hiring staff and doing things if you have to, you've got some debt service maybe, or you've got you put out money and it takes a little while to bring money in, and if you cannot hold on long enough to get the word out, to get the people buying the product, to get the people coming in the store, whatever it is, then unfortunately, at some point, many businesses just say, you know what? I can't do it. I got to go back to work, real work. I mean, not real work, but, you know, employee type work.
If business didn't work, I got to go be an employee somewhere. Yeah.
I got to find a job.
Well, there you go. Okay. 90%, that's a whole lot. But, hey, you know what? For the 10%, I guess, that do work, that do make it, it can be very lucrative. Can be.
Or it can be sustaining.
Sustaining. Let's put it that way. All right. 877-PLANNER. I got time for, I think, one more email here. Once again, if you want to email us, you go to our website, wealthed.com. We're going to move down the list to Eric in Olympia, Washington. Here we go again. We should cover more of this, I suppose, on this new law that's going to be taking effect or has taken effect in some cases. Eric in Olympia, Washington. I'm not yet old enough to get full Social Security benefits. What do I have to do to be able to file and suspend or receive a restricted application when I turn 66? Do I need to do something before the end of April 2016? I want to not take my benefit at 66, but take half of my spouse's, and then at age 70, take the higher amount for my own benefit after waiting. Do I lose that because of the new law changes? Well, obviously he's not 66 yet. Well, we don't know how old he is currently.
I don't know how old you are, but I may have some good news because the issue is, you said, what do you have to do to file and suspend? And then you outlined the strategy that you wanted to employ. You wanted to take half of your spouse's benefit without applying for your own and wait until age 70. So you don't have to do anything by April of this year, because that is not the file and suspend strategy. The file and suspend strategy is where you file for your own, suspend it so that somebody else can take a benefit from you, not the other way around, and you don't take anything until 70. Now, unless you can figure out a way to turn 66 in the next couple of months and be able to voluntarily suspend your benefit before the end of April of this year, there's nothing you can do about the file and suspend. But don't worry, you didn't want to do that anyway. You wanted to do the restricted application. And your ability to do the restricted application has nothing to do with anything that you can or cannot do at this moment. You are either old enough or not old enough to do the restricted application. You can't change your age. So unless you are going to be at least 62, or were at least 62 by the end of December 2015, you're not old enough to do what you want to do. But if you are 62 right now and turned 62 before the end of December 15, or before the end of December 2015, you have the ability to do a restricted application from your spouse's benefit, assuming your spouse has applied for a benefit. But there's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. You are either old enough or not. Were you 62 at the end of 2015? If you were, then when you turn 66, you can apply for only a spousal benefit from your spouse's work record without applying for your own, leaving yours to grow till 70. Of course, to have that option, your spouse has to have applied for their own benefit. If your spouse is more than 4 years younger than you, it's not really going to matter because they haven't applied for a benefit yet. And you cannot get a spousal benefit no matter how old you are if the worker that you're trying to take the benefit from has not applied for the benefit.
Yeah, we don't try to make everything about Social Security on the show, even though we do get a lot of calls and emails on it. But because those laws that took effect or were put into effect last, November. I guess it was, and are starting to affect more and more people, we should probably try to clear that up. So if you have questions on that, you can certainly ask them of us on the phone or on the email or at any one of the workshops that I mentioned are coming up. So if you need the brain trust off the air, ask these questions, talk to Professor Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group Brain Trust advisors across the country. Their phone number off the air, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.